Anybody would like a copy of God's Word? It's offered to you quite freely. Extract that is from the Bible. That's the only place where you find God's Word today. John's Gospel offered to you freely. It's the testimony, the record concerning God's Son sent into the world to be a Savior, to deliver us from our worst and known danger, that of course of the sin, our sinful natures, and the practice of course that comes from those natures. You'd like to read God's record testimony. Some people of course reject, some people say it's not true, but of course, well then that's to call God a liar. If we say we have no sin, the Bible says we call God a liar. And so too, if we say that His Word, His testimony is not true, then also we call God a liar. God speaks only the truth. He's the God of truth, and His Word is truth. Jesus says so. Thy Word is truth. You like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. Yours, yes, simply and only for the taking. But anyway, the Word of God here today, of course, the exhortation, encouragement is that you should repent, that is, and that you should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and come, of course, to love Him as your Savior, as even as your God, because besides Jesus Christ there is no other God, and outside of Him there is no salvation to be found anywhere else, not in your world religions or anywhere else for that matter, not in politics, philosophy, not in the realms of humanity. Only through and in the man Christ Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, sent into the world to die on a cross, rise again from the dead in order that through Him that you might be justified freely by the grace of God, that you might be accepted of God, and of course acceptable one day for heaven. It's all, of course, to be found in God's Word in the Bible, and of course, as I say, nowhere else. The Word of God for Hanley here this afternoon is taken from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Anathema, cut off, that is, from God, accursed, because they do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, because they do not love the only Savior sent by God into the world that He might be your Savior. Oh, we do delight, don't you know? It's always a delight to speak about the goodness of God, His loving kindness, you know, and how out of that sheer kindness of God, He provided us with a way back to Himself, provided us with a Savior, sent His only begotten Son, His precious Son, the apple of His eye, the one that He loves supremely and sublimely. He sent into the world to be wasted on a cross so that you and I, that we might be redeemed from the law of sin and death, from the curse that's upon us because of man's apostasy, departure from God. We delight to speak about the love of God. God is love, undoubtedly, unquestionably. But of course, that's not all that God is. God is angry with the wicked every day. He says so. His testimony, not mine. God hates the workers of iniquity, the Bible says. So you see, God is more than just a God of love, you know. He's not that white-bearded old gentleman sitting on the edge of a cloud that you imagine, just waiting to ooze out love and forgiveness just as and when it suits you. That's a travesty. That's an idol, even. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the living and true God. But we do. We delight to speak about God's love. And of course, the evidence of God's love, the only evidence that you have of God's love in all the universe is in the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. You take that away and you're left with no evidence at all of the love of God. It was manifest, His love that is, clearly, distinctly, in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, where He died for sinners, for rebels, for those who are at enmity against God, hostile in their minds towards God. So the love of God, yes, it's a delight to speak about such. But of course, when we speak about God being angry with the wicked every day, and we speak about the terrors of the Lord, because it's because of the terrors of the Lord that we seek to, well, you know, persuade you if we can, you know, beseech you on behalf of Christ that you might be reconciled to God. We speak of such, you know, out of love and grace, you know, because you see, love warns. You know, you show me a parent, show me a grandparent that never warns their children, and I'll show you a parent, I'll show you a grandparent who hates their children. Love warns, you see, sometimes it even threatens, you know. If you're a parent, if you've been a parent for more than 5 minutes, well, you'll know the same as I do, you know. And sometimes you have to more than warn your children. Sometimes you have to lift your voice, don't you? Sometimes you have to cry aloud. Sometimes you have to threaten them, you know, in order to get them to avoid the danger that you can see but they can't. Well, we come to you, see, to warn you, to speak of the terrors of the Lord, to tell you about the wrath of God and the terrors of the Lord. Because you're blind to it, you can't see, just like the child and the parent. You know, the parent can see it, but not the child. So I come to you with the same love, you know, to tell you, bid you, you know, beseech you to be reconciled to God, flee the wrath to come. Before, of course, the terrors of the Lord consume you. And you know, you're no more for this world. It's appointed unto man once to die, says God. After that, well, you say, yeah, that's it, finished. End of story, no more suffering, no more difficulties, you know. But that's not what God says. That's not what the Bible says. That's not the truth. Death, you see, is not a state of non-being. Now you've got a soul in you that will live forever, exist forever, not live, exist forever. It's appointed unto man once to die, says God. After that comes the judgment. So you see, death is not the finish. It's not a state of non-being. Death, you see, will bring you into the presence of God, into the presence of the judge. The Bible says the judge stands before the door. And any moment, any given moment, that door could open and you're ushered into the presence of the judge. And you'll be judged on the basis, on account of what you have done or not done with His Son Jesus Christ. Whether you have loved Him, embraced Him, believed upon Him, trusted on Him, in order that your sins might be taken away. That is before your before your sin takes you away. You see, death is not natural. Death is an intervention into God's world. Death, dear friends, is a violent, intervention on the part of God, taking sinners out of this world and into His presence. And the only way that you can escape the severity of God's judgment, and of course to be an object of His terror and wrath for all eternity, is when you come to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him, embrace Him, and give thanks to God for giving you such a Savior and delivering you from such terror, as the terrors of the Lord, as the anger, the wrath of God. But the Word of God says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, let him be accursed. No love for God, no love for Jesus. For Jesus is God, God manifest in the flesh. There is no other God but Jesus Christ, and no other Savior but Jesus Christ, and no salvation outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. None at all. Without Jesus, you cannot be saved. And if you don't love Him, then you hate Him. And if you hate Him, then you're accursed now and will be for all eternity. Unless there's a change, unless there's a dramatic and dynamic change, that is a turnaround in the heart, you see, in the mind, forsaking your wicked ways and your unrighteous thinking. Repentance is the word, that's what God calls it. So you see, friends, that has to be. Jesus says so. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Has to be. It's a necessity, it's vital. It's the first call of God upon you that you repent. God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Then, of course, to believe upon and love the Lord Jesus Christ. But any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, let him be anathema, maranatha, let him be accursed. Cut off from God. How you doing, man?
Right.
You have a nice day?
I am.
That's good.
Could I just ask you a question?
Me too, of course you can.
Do you believe in speaking in tongues?
Do I? Do you mean like in the Bible?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I believe
do
the Bible. I believe the Bible's record of that, yes.
Do you believe that we can speak in tongues?
Oh, I see, right, today you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I've got a problem with that.
Okay.
Yeah. I have brothers and sisters in the Lord who are Pentecostal,
yes.
You know, and they believe that thoroughly.
Yes.
You know, they actually do it. I love them very much. We love one another. We don't fight about it. We don't argue about it. But they believe that, you know, and I don't. I see it as having come to an end. Like, you know, I mean, I hope that doesn't disappoint you. But, you know,
I believe in that. You see.
You do, right? Okay. Well, you know, I won't fall out with you over it. Like, you know, but some do and some don't. Like, you know, I mean, but if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, then we're united. We're brothers and sisters, and we got
saved me, you know.
We've got say it again.
He saved me.
Yeah, and me too.
I was an alcoholic, and I used to smoke.
Right.
And
yeah,
I got
me
down
too.
On my knees and asked the Lord to forgive me.
Right.
And will He take this away in His instance?
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, similar background myself. I was a drunkard, a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to lay me on my back first, like, you know, and I cried out, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Don't matter
how
he comes to you, does
he? Uh-huh, yeah, amen. Hey, sister. Yeah, that's right. Hey, sister, shake my hand. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you, yeah.
Thank
you. So like you say, friends, you know, it's, that's the bottom line, you know, if you don't, you know, to put it bluntly, like, you know, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, then... But you're on the pathway to perdition, you know. You're on the road to destruction. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Why is that broad pathway? Why is it so easy to cruise down? Because it's downhill all the way, that's why. Right down into the pit of hell. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. But of course, without the preaching of the gospel, but let me come unto you and telling you, you know, the way of salvation. Oh, is it possible for you ever to escape? Get off that path of destruction and get in through that straight gate and walk that narrow way that leads to life. Through the gospel, the preaching of the gospel alone. So you see that this person who does not love the Lord Jesus, this person is, well, the words the Bible uses, anathema. They're an anathema to God, you know. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't love the Son of God, you're an anathema to God. Anathema, not anathema, you're accursed. You're cut off from God, separated from God by your iniquities. It's your sin, you see. That's the only thing that keeps you from God. Only thing that separates you from your best good. The only thing that keeps you from salvation, the only thing that keeps you from the love of God, is your sin. It's your sin. Man has voluntarily entered into an agreement, a contract with sin. It's not that you do it involuntarily. It's not that you do it against your will. You quite willingly sin. You quite willingly run against God. You quite willingly defy Him. You quite willingly provoke Him to anger. It's not a surprise to me that God is angry with the wicked every day. It might be for you. It might become a surprise to you, you know, that God is that. God, there are some people that God hates. The workers of iniquity. You know, that doesn't come as a surprise to me. I tell you what is a surprise to me is that God loves some. You know that.
I just wondered why you got. I'm a Christian. I wondered why you got a sign that says God's angry with you every day instead of God loves you every day.
It doesn't say you. It says the wicked.
The wicked.
The wicked, because God hates them.
Well, I don't know about hate. That's a bit of a strong word for God.
Well, He says He hates the workers of iniquity.
You know, he loves
that's what all men are.
I think He loves everybody. He hates the wickedness.
Yeah.
Not the wicked. Do you
well,
know what I mean?
I don't think you can separate the two.
Well, I do.
A man is what he is.
Love the sin and not the sin. I would say.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, but you know,
I just walking
sure.
past.
But
and say, well, I don't want to know kind of God. That's what I would say.
It's a verse from the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
But
do you see what I mean? Other people
I do.
See that and think, oh, well, I don't want to know that kind of God.
I do, and I appreciate your comment. But I won't follow it with you, like. But you know, it's just. I think, you know, that my own personal take on it, you know, is that this is a generation that is very much ripe for judgment.
Oh,
and unless God comes and revives our nation, you know, unless God comes in power. But I think that first of all, you see, you don't go to the doctor unless you know that you're sick.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus makes that point, you know.
This kind of thing attracts people to find out. That's kind of what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah,
because they see, well, it's just the corner's wicked.
Yeah,
So I'm of the opinion that we can't try and attract people to the Word and to the loving God. And then point out to them the way that they're going wrong.
Sure.
But anyway.
Okay, thanks, madam. I appreciate your comment. So, as I was saying, you know that, you know, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you're in a bad place. If Christ is not indwelling you, you know, if He doesn't live in you, if you cannot say with sincerity and truthfulness, you know, that Christ died for my sins, you know, that He loved you and gave Himself for you, and it's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. He has to live in you. And you see, that's what happens. You see, when a man or woman is born again, Jesus says you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And what happens, you see, with that new birth that Jesus talks about, a man be born again, he's not returning again to his mother's womb to be born naturally again. That's impossible. We all know that. No, it's a supernatural working of God upon the human heart by the preaching of the gospel. and God breathes the breath of life into a man's soul, you see? God puts his life into a man's soul. God puts his son into a man's soul. God puts his love into a man's heart. Sheds it abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. So you see, unless you're born again, except you're born again, except you're united by faith to Jesus Christ, unless you can say, testify, Christ lives in me, well then, you know, then you obviously do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, you are anathema to him. Anathema, maranatha, that is, you're accursed, cut off from God. Christ must come and dwell in you. You must be united. You must be connected to Jesus Christ. He is the true vine. And without him, you do not have the life of God in your soul, nor the love of God in your heart. You must love him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Or you're not heaven-bound. You're not heaven-bound. You're going the opposite way. Down. So you see, if you're not trusting, if you're not trusting in the mediation of Christ, the Bible says there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other way you can come to God. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't come to God, you can't pray to God in any other name but Jesus Christ. Now you can mutter Muhammad's name, you can mutter Allah's name, you can mutter Buddha's name, name of Confucius, the Pope, Mary, but that will not get you into the presence of God. That does not give you access to God. Not at all without the name of Jesus Christ. None other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, by which we can come to God. Only through the one and only mediator, the one that God has appointed, only Christ can bring you to God, into the presence of God. That's what he came for. That's what he died for, to bring us to God. That's why he suffered and bled on that cross. For the sins of the wicked, for the sins of the ungodly, for the sins that separate you from God. That you might have that access to God, free access to God, be able to come in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, well, there's such a mediator as yours. If you have that realization in your soul that Christ died to bring you to God, that Christ died on that cross in order that you might be able to pray to God in the name of his Son, come to God, have free access to God in the name of his Son, well then you would be thankful, to say the very least. You would love the Lord Jesus Christ for dying such a death in your place. But if you do not love the Lord Jesus, God says, you're anathema, maranatha, you're cursed, you're cut off, separated from God. If you're disobedient to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love me, you will obey my commands, says Jesus. So obviously, if you live in disobedience to God's commandments, well, it's obvious you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot. Love is obedience, and obedience is love. There are many people who go about the world saying they love God, saying they love Jesus, but they live contrary to God's commandments. They argue against God's word. They argue against just about his every commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That excludes all other gods but Jesus Christ. No other way to God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Idolaters, blasphemers, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not kill by means of abortion, euthanasia, if you agree with these things. Then you're contrary to Jesus Christ. You're contrary to the commandment of God. You cannot love the Lord Jesus Christ and be in agreement with the death that is meted out day after day after day in abortion clinics, in your National Health Service, by means of abortion, or euthanasia, and then all the other killing in between. A Christian, a person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, is a person who loves life, not death. But God says, those who hate me love death. Is that not written large all over your nation, all over your world today? God haters love death, and they're meeting it out day after day. Some of them in the name of their religion, some of them in the name of their evolutionary nonsense, lies and deceit. But whatever ever means any justification you have for it, if you're a lover of death, you're a hater of God and a hater of Jesus Christ. And if you love not the Lord Jesus Christ, you're anathema, maranatha. You're accursed and cut off from God. And you need to repent. You need to turn from such wickedness, disobedience to the commandments of God, and you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved and come to love Him. If you've not forsaken this present evil world, this age, if you're in love with the world, you're not in love with Jesus. The whole world, Jesus says, lieth in wickedness under the sway of the evil one. The world believes the lie and lives the lie. There's the philosophy of the world, evolution. That's his philosophy. That's his damnable lie. Well, if you love the world and you love its lies and you live out its lies in your life, then you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the truth. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. He loves the truth. He hates the lie. And people who love the lie do not love Jesus, the lover of the truth. And it's the truth, He says, that will make you free, and only the truth. It's a lie that keeps you imprisoned. It's a lie that keeps you under sin, under your slave master, in which you were born into. Unless Jesus comes by His death and puts to death your slave master's sin, friends, you continue to live in slavery. You continue to live in bondage to your sin. You continue living out the lie, believing the lie, and living the lie, the philosophies of the world. If you have not forsaken the world, if you have not turned your back upon the world, then you're accursed, you're cut off from God, anathema, maranatha, separated from God as a result of your iniquities. That is, if you love not the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have no zeal for the glory of Christ, if it's not a pleasant thing for you, a pleasing thing for you to hear the gospel proclaimed in your midst here in Hanley today, if it irritates you, aggravates you, if you hate it, then you've no zeal for the cause of Jesus Christ and the glory of Jesus Christ. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ want Him to be glorified. They want to confess His name before men. They want His name to be lifted up in all the world so that men, other men and women, might be drawn to Him. But if the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to you, that's evidence, says God, that you're on the pathway. You're on the road to perdition. You're on the road to hell. Anathema, maranatha, curse, cut off from God. If you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ and you do not seek His glory, friends, the curse, cut off from God. And of course, there's the threat and doom. You know, because this is the situation in this world, you know. Cut off from the presence of God now in this world. That's what the Bible calls spiritual death. Have no spiritual life in you. And only Jesus, only Jesus, only the Son of God can give you that. He is the life. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. Only He can give you life. Go to the Son of God, He'll give you life. Your religion won't do that for you. Dead religion can't make people alive. It's a living Savior that you need, not a dead prophet, not a dead pope. It's a living Savior that you need. One who's alive from the dead and alive forevermore. And the one who is able to put life into your soul, raise you from the dead, resurrect you, regenerate you. It's regeneration you need, not religion. Religion kills. Religion's got death in the pot. Friends, it's only Christ, it's only Jesus. Only He can give you life. Only He can bring you into the presence of God, but that day will come when your exclusion from the presence of God will no longer be temporal, it'll be eternal, forever. And forever nothing, nothing but an object of God's wrath for all eternity. Cut off. One day you'll be cut off from the means of grace. And the means of grace, the means by which God brings men and women, you know, to a realization of His grace. Well, the preaching of His Word especially. So if that's a nonsense to you today, well, friends, the day will come, you know, when your wish will be granted. It'll be taken away from you. Maybe, perhaps, it'll be taken out of your land altogether. You've had it for 400 years, and what have you done? You've trashed it. God gave you His Word, the Bible. There are nations in the world who, I tell you, if they were hearing what you're hearing today, they would fly into the arms of Jesus. But you're so accustomed to hearing it. Familiarity breeds contempt. And here you are today, these 400 years on, and you still have the means of grace, you still have the Bible, you still have the preaching of God's Word, but it is held in utter contempt by you, the most of you. But one day you'll get your wish. Oh, you say, I don't want to hear this preaching no more. I wish they'd bring in a law and stop it altogether. Well, they might do. And it'll be taken away from you, the means of grace. But then that day will come. That day will come when you're stood in the presence of God to be judged. And you'll be crying out. You'll be howling and weeping. Where's the Bible, please, that I might read it and believe it? Where is that Jesus that I might believe in His name? Too late. Too late. Accursed now. Separated from God now. But then for all eternity, you only have this very brief span of time while you're in this world. Some a bit longer than others. 70 years, says God. 70 is the average. But if you do not make use of the means of grace in that time, if you do not get acquainted with the gospel, if you do not get to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ, a curse not just for time. Maranatha, accursed, separated from God, not just in this life, but for the world to come. Cut off from God's people, the commonwealth of God's people, the community of the believing church. I don't mean the Church of England. I don't mean the Roman Church. I don't mean false churches. I mean the true Church of God. The Church of the living, not the Church of the dead. Cut off. Cut off not just from God. Cut off from the means of grace, the means that God would use to save you. But cut off from His people who would confess Jesus' name to you, who would seek to bring you to a knowledge of the Savior, who would tell you about your sin, who would tell you about the wrath to come, who would tell you about how you can escape, how they escape, and how you can escape. If that is, you will repent. If that is, you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's testimony is, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha, a curse cut off from God. One day to be cut off irremediably, you know, with no way back, eternally separated from God. And when Jesus Christ comes again, the Bible says, in flaming fire with His holy angels, to take vengeance upon all those who know not God and who obey not the gospel. In that day when He comes again, not to take you to Himself, not to embrace you, not to take you to heaven, not to bear you an eagle on the wings of angels to heaven, but comes to curse, comes to finish that work of judgment in the world and bring in that new heaven and that new earth. When He comes again, and He comes quickly, the Bible says, soon to be coming, soon to be appearing. Friends, those who know not God are those who do not love God. Those who do not know God are those who do not know Jesus Christ. Those who do not love Jesus Christ are those who do not love Him. If you knew Him, you would love Him. And if you loved Him, you would know Him. You do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. You are accursed, anathema, Maranatha. You're cut off from God, separated by your iniquities, your sin, your unbelief. Wickedness, not to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin, in the extreme, friends. And of course, the basis for such judgment is the law of God. The primary demand of God's law is what? Is that you should first of all love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. This is the sum of God's law. That you should love God and love your neighbor. But here you are today, you go about hating God and hating your neighbor. You do the very opposite. You can do no other. Why? Because it's in your nature so to do. You and your children are conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin, die in sin. But for the grace of God, but for the salvation of God, lest God rescues you. But that sin nature in which you're born, conceived and born, you cannot express anything else. You cannot keep it in. You cannot keep it to yourself. You can't do nothing but sin. It's your nature. Somebody must come and change your nature first. Give you a nature that loves God. Gives you a nature that hates sin. Gives you a nature that loves righteousness. But that's what Jesus means when He says you must be born again. That nature of yours changed by God's miraculous and gracious intervention. Taking that hateful nature out of you. Taking that God-hating nature out of you. Taking that hatred for your neighbor out of you. And giving you a love for God. A love for holiness. A love for God's commandments. A love for Jesus Christ. If you love Him, you'll love His law. If you hate His law, what does His law say? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, lie. Thou shalt not covet. You go about doing these things, it's because you do not love God's law. And if you do not love God's law, then you do not love God. You do not love His Son, Jesus Christ. How are you doing, young man?
God is not even angry.
Sorry?
God is not angry.
Who told you that?
I just told him.
Well, you read the Bible, son. The Bible speaks the truth. That's from the Bible. How you doing, madam?
You're doing a good work, darling.
Thank you, madam.
Tell you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You have to do to witness for God.
That'll lead them to destruction, madam.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, they don't. No, they hate God.
Yes.
They hate God.
Well, the Bible said it's only a few.
That's right. Few there be that find it.
Yes.
That's right.
Many men said they yep. found it, but they don't mean it.
No. Yep.
Okay. Where are you from?
Originally, I come from Glasgow.
Oh, you're yes. far away from Glasgow.
No. I live here, in Stoke-on-Trent.
Oh.
Now, but I originally come from Glasgow.
Were you over that?
Yeah. Yes. Because of the children's play thing, we came yes. down here today.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you too, madam. Thank you for your encouragement. So you see, you hate God's law. You live in, you know, contrary to God's law. Well, why is that? You know, why should the law of God be burdensome to you? Why is it not a delight to you? Thou shalt not commit adultery. That should be a delight to you. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. That should be a delight to you. But it's not, you hate it with every fiber of your being. If you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, those are His commandments. And if you disagree, if you're in hatred towards His commandments, well then you're in hatred towards Him. And the mother says, in contradiction to the word of God, the mother says to the child, you believe what you want, son, eh? You believe what you want. That'll do the child a lot of good, eh? That'll lead the child to utter destruction, eternal destruction. Leave a child to its own ways. Friends, it'll end up in the same place as you. Instruct the child in the way of the Lord. In the ways of the Lord, to obey the Lord, to trust the Lord, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they will not be anathema maranatha, accursed and cut off from God. But what about you? You don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to teach your children to love the Lord Jesus Christ. You hate them, you're going to teach your children to do exactly the same thing. To hate Him. And friends, to be accursed and cut off from God. It's the basis of God's law. They will judge you by that standard in that day that God will judge you, not your standard. Not the standard of your religion. Not the standards of your family, not the standards of the state, the government. It's by this standard that you'll be judged, God's standard alone. And if you do not measure up to it, if you have not obeyed the law, that is, if you have not loved God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your soul, then you're anathema, not anathema, you're cut off, you're a curse from God. On the basis of the gospel, you'll be judged. Maybe perhaps you heard the words. Maybe you've even quoted the words yourself. For God so loved the world. You knew that truth, but it was nothing to you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but it was nothing to you. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you did nothing with it. You knew the truth, and the truth would have set you free, but you would have none of it. You would have none of it. You would not believe. You would not love the Lord Jesus Christ who came in obedience to His Father and lived that life of obedience, fulfilled all righteousness. Friends, if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not put your trust in Him. Do not love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Friends, this is your end, not just now. Separated from God now as a result of your iniquities, but then for all eternity. It's the basis here of the very nature of the thing. If you do not love him, then it's obvious you hate him. There's no neutrality with Jesus. You either love him or hate him. There's no middle ground. There's no good you say, well, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm in between. No, there's no in between. There's no in between. You either hate him or you love him. There's no neutrality between God and the world. There's no neutrality between creation and evolution. There's no neutrality between God's worldview in the Bible and man's worldview. There's no neutrality between you and Jesus Christ. You either love him or you hate him. So which is and which will it be? You continue on to the end of your course. And how long will that be? Will it be tonight? Will it be tomorrow? Will it be next week? Who knows? Maybe you've got a few years left to you. But eventually it's going to come to an end. Eventually you're going to breathe your last like everyone else. You continue on in that course of hating Jesus Christ. Accursed, separated from God now, but then for all eternity. If you love not the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the word of God. It's not mine. It's the word of God. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let him be accursed, separated from God. Because for the simple fact that you do not love, have not loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said of those who crucified him, they hated me without a cause. What cause have you got for hating Jesus Christ today, friends, I ask you? What cause? What harm has he done to you? What wrong has he done you that you should hate him so much? That you should hate him with every fiber of your being? That you should cast his gospel in his teeth? They hated me without a cause, and they still hate him without a cause. You have no cause. You have no justification for hating the Son of God. Not at all. He could be your best friend and your best good. The one who would do you the most good. Who came into the world and endured suffering at the hands of wicked, cruel men. Was crucified, dead and buried, raised again from the dead. Because he loved sinners. Because he loved sinners. Because he showed and declared his love, and it's still declared amongst you today, and still you hate him. Still you hate him. And you hate him without any cause at all. You do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, stay away. You do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. You are anathema. You are maranatha, you are accursed and separated from God. So I urge you today that you think serious and hard about these things. Sin is universal, it's common to us all. All who sin, they come short of the glory of God. None righteous, not one at all, none that doeth good, says God. Not a good person amongst you, not one. That's God's testimony. But the call of the gospel is universal too. Goes out into all the ends of the earth. And goes out into Hanley today. And what is that call? Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Hanley. God now commandeth all men, everywhere, to repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Repentance, in other words. Turning from your sin, your wickedness. Turning to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That the anger, that the wrath, that the curse, and that the death might be lifted off you. And that you might be given life. Life of God in your soul. Love of God in your heart. And love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed forever. Blessed with God's salvation. His everlasting righteousness. His everlasting love. But only for those who love. Only for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, seek him today. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and they'll return unto the Lord. He will have mercy, abundantly pardon, he says. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the rest shall be added unto you. Seek him while he may be found. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as many have done, and doubtless some of you have even done this very afternoon. That's the pathway to destruction. Enter ye in at the straight gate, says Jesus, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight, because straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Will you find it? You won't find it in a mess of religion. You won't find it in this world. You won't find it in its damnable philosophies of evolution and the like. You won't find it in anywhere else but in Jesus. Jesus, go to yonder cross where the Son of God suffered and bled and died for lost sinners. Go there and gaze upon him and his dying love and ask yourself the question, what cause do I have for hating him? What cause, what justification do I have for hating the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is not at all. You'd rather have your mess of religion. You'd rather have your mess of evolution. Well, that will not justify you in that day. Believe me. Only one who'll get you a pass in that day. And that's Jesus. And you're stood before that judgment throne. And we must all appear before the judgment throne of God. When you're stood before that throne, unless Jesus gives his Father the nod, he's mine, she's mine, they love me, you get no pass at all. All you get is, depart from me, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I call upon you today, while you may, while you have the breath of life in you, I call upon you, as Jesus Christ does. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You'd like to have a